Peace and blessings. Welcome to another episode of the Fruits of Life podcast. I am your host, Omega Fruits, and I welcome you, brothers, sisters, kings, and queens, to this very dynamic, very special, and very deep episode focusing on mental health, post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, and postpartum depression. I am with a special guest today who is going to be with me, and we're going to really unpack a lot of things. So guard your heart and get ready for this journey. If you haven't joined the family already, be sure to hit that subscribe button. Please provide a rating and a review so that you can help this platform grow and reach many more listeners, because our stories are valuable, they're relevant, and they must be told as well as heard. Today, we are going to dive deep into the heart and soul in this episode. And I'd like to first say that each person's experiences are valid and uniquely sensitive to that person who sees, hears, and feels any form of trauma. As listeners, I ask that we empathize with the individual and send healing vibrations to the speaker, as opening up is definitely a difficult thing to do. With that said, I say peace and I give thanks to my special guest, Goddess Amina Abir, for being so willing to share her story of pain, suffering, and healing with me and our listeners. I am sure her story will help heal other people and bring a special kind of deliverance and virtual hug to those who need it. So peace and blessings, Queen.
Peace, peace.
Give thanks, give thanks. Goddess Amina Abir is a spiritual healer specializing in therapeutic massage, Reiki, and chakra cleansing and balancing, as well as being a self-care leader. So we have a whole lot to gain from this whole conversation. And again, I thank you, Queen, for being a part of this reasoning. A quick disclaimer. Be advised, I am not a medical doctor or a clinician who is capable of diagnosing or prescribing remedies for physical or mental conditions. The information shared in this episode is for information purposes and community support only. It by no means offers medical advice or assumes the place of a professional in the field.
Okay.
If you or someone you know needs medical assistance to address your personal issues and or illness, please contact your physician for a referral and professional support. All right. So we're here as family to, you know, share our process in self-healing and family healing and community healing. With that being said, let's jump on in and really unpeel some layers, Queen. So you ready to
do
this?
Yes, ma'am.
During our interactions that led up to this interview, you shared a traumatic experience that you experienced as a child that affected you throughout your childhood years up through adulthood. Can you share that with us? Like, share with us what happened so that we can get an idea of what spectacles to look through.
Perfect. So December 1998, my sisters and I were with my mom in Newark, and we had a traumatic experience. She died, transitioned in a fire. There was a fire that happened. She went with one of her coworkers. The story in itself is so choppy, and reliving it and then hearing like three different stories, it always gets me upset, but I've learned to make peace with it, because you're not going to, there's some answers you won't know until you meet, you know, divine spirit. But me and my sisters were present at the time, and she went in the house and came back out on a stretcher. And the last thing that my mom told us before she transitioned was just to take care of your sisters. So I experienced depression early in my life. Mm. So
I see. Now, was this your family's home? Was this a family friend? Whose home? Where was the fire?
It was in Newark on Fabian Place. I don't know if you're familiar with that area, but yeah, she was with her coworker, and it was her coworker's friend's house. So apparently what I've been told is that there was family in the house. It was this, like, started the fire, ran out the house, and she went in because she was told that there was a elder there, like a grandmother that was there. So she went in to try to help, but then, you know, she was on the second floor and a beam had fell, and she had, you know, third degree burns, smoke inhalation. So
Wow, that's tough. And you and your sisters were present
Yeah,
on location?
we were there at the time because we were riding in the car with her. And so when it
I see.
happened, we were outside. So when she went in, we stayed outside.
Okay. And how old were you at that
I
time?
was eight. I was eight.
And how many sisters do you
I have two
have?
sisters and older brothers. So I'm the middle child. So my older sister
Okay.
is, she was 9 when it happened, and then my younger sister was 5. And then my brother, we had the same dad, different mom, so he wasn't present at the time.
Okay. So you all were very little at that time.
Definitely.
Can you explain how you defined that and when did you realize
So when
that?
at the night, the day before, the day after, the traumatic experience, we got home around like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't sleep, obviously, because, just 1 minute you're with your parent, and the next minute, they're in a hospital and you came to speak to them. But I had a dream that night, and I
Right.
always remember this dream. And she came and visited me in her dream, and my dream, and told me that she wasn't going to be here anymore and to take care of your sisters. That next morning, we turned on the TV. We was coming down steps, and her favorite song, her and my grandmother's favorite song, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Crossroads, heck. And that was the first time. I didn't know that then that was called confirmation. And I didn't know then I had
Okay.
a psychic ability. So it picked up after she transitioned that I can, I have ancestors and elders that would visit me in my dreams. I didn't know that then. So because I didn't know how to harness that gift, I was just always in a dark place, pretty much. And it wasn't until, I would say, after I stopped living, me and my sisters and my brother stopped living with my dad. So I was about like 13, when my weight was up and down in high school. I wasn't running the streets, but I had multiple sexual partners to fill a void. And it wasn't until I had to
I
really
see.
sit down. So I would say about 1920 that I realized I was in a dark place, and it was time for me to, get on this healing journey.
Wow. And do you notice if your sisters experienced something similar to you? Is this something you guys spoke about?
Well, I know they're handling it differently. My younger sister, I know she's definitely handling it in a whole different ball game, just because she was 5 when my mom transitioned. So I don't even know if she remembers what our mom looks like or any events that happened because she was so young. So I know she's fighting something that I can't even explain. And then my older sister, she had to play mom at a young age. So she became adult a little quicker than my younger sister and I. So we're all
I
handling it
see.
differently. It's just I've come to a point in my life where I needed to put my healing first and dissect these emotional issues that I was holding on to.
Okay, now if that's something that you came to realize that needed to be addressed at 19.
Yes, that's when I finished high school, and my grandmother was like, "You either gonna work or go to school." She did a Friday on me. So I started going. I went into massage school right after high school. Yeah,
Oh,
so I've been
wow.
doing 9
That's
years.
pretty great. So now you did mention that some ways that you realized you were exerting the symptoms of depression was in having multiple partners, multiple sexual partners, right? So do you find that your traumatic experience affected your relationships and connections with people in any other way?
Absolutely. I started smoking weed when I was in high school, and that was just as a coping mechanism, because I wanted to escape reality. I have over about like 30 tattoos, and I'm only 29, and I started when I was 18, and that was because the pain that I was feeling and enduring because of, loss of my mom, and then having a really messed up relationship with my dad. I don't know if I could curse. He was very abusive, so I masked that pain from getting these tattoos, because I felt like the pain from the tattoos were more bearable than what I was going through emotionally. So,
That's
yeah,
deep.
my first bro
Yeah,
boyfriend, my
that's
first
deep.
boyfriend was actually very abusive, and that stemmed from me and my dad's relationship, because he was very abusive. So naturally, not naturally, but you are gonna your first relationship is gonna be a reflection of what you see with you and your parents. So because
Oh,
I had
yes.
an abusive relationship, my dad was very mentally and verbally and physically abusive. My first boyfriend was just like that, if not worse.
Yeah, that's just the reality of our psyche, you know, when we really have certain experiences with our parents, our fathers, relationship, you know, our father's our first, you know, experience of what exposure of what a man's supposed to
Absolutely.
be. And unfortunately, some of us tend to look for that same kind of man even unconsciously. Yeah, so that's a very difficult experience to continue to go through. So it's like you had this traumatic experience with your mom, and then these ongoing traumatic experiences with your dad, and then moving on to having a relationship with someone that was just as abusive, and as you mentioned, exerting, you know, or taking on certain practices, participating in certain practices to fill the void, to mask the pain. Yeah. So these are definitely ways that folks cope, that we cope with the pain, especially when it's unspoken. So speaking of unspoken, now, have you in the past or over the years, have you discussed with your family members about this experience you were having, about this pain? Did you really identify the pain, or were you just kind of doing your thing and coping as you saw fit?
In the midst of it, nah, I wasn't talking about it. I do give thanks and praise to my grandmother because she did do her best by getting us a counselor after our mom transitioned. But it was a white woman. She had some Donna Karens on. Ain't nobody about to talk to you about what happened about my life. She got her legs crossed, like, I feel your pain. No, you don't. Like,
That's a big
yes. If
issue.
it, if I
Speak.
def if there was a melanated sister or a brother that was present when I was 8, 9 years old, I think it would have been a lot different.
Yeah. And why do you think that? I mean, I obviously have my own opinion about that, but why would you think that? Why do you
Because
say that?
obviously representation matters, but there's an unspoken energy that our melanated people have for one another. Not saying that, maybe that person may have not grown up and had their dad or mom not in their life, but just to know that you're in my face and you're a reflection of me, I could have probably opened up a little bit more, But when you got somebody sitting there looking all dolled up, the pin right by the lip, just legs crossed, the skin don't even look like mine, office nice and clean, like, no.
Straight out of a movie. It's important, you know, to be, like you said, representation does matter, for to be able to speak so openly about this pain that is so close to you, so intimate to you. It's vi very vital to have someone that you can relate to, that can relate to you, that can empathize with you on a cultural level. So I definitely understand that when we're going through things as children, as adolescents, as early adults, we do not clearly identify the psychoses we might be dealing with, right? But at any point, let's say maybe your grandmother, did she mention that, you know, baby, you know, you're okay. Everything's gonna be fine. It's not your fault. You know, just to console you some. Did you receive any consolation in that
Well,
way?
my grandmother was going through her own thing, and she, after my mom transitioned, because that was her only daughter, she had two sons, so three altogether. So she was the baby and the daughter. So once my mom had transitioned, my grandmother was popping them Kumar 100s like they was nothing. Like she was smoking heavy, and her mindset was like, you just got to keep pushing for it. Type of situation. And she wanted us to open up, but her energy was back and forth, up and down, up and down. One minute she's okay, next minute she's in her head and she's lashing out. So naturally, being that I was staying with her, I picked up on some of those traits. And that's another reason why some of my relationships were, they were garbage because I was her communication skills. I picked up on that. So me communicating to the people around me, I couldn't because I was just mimicking what my grandmother was showing me or what my dad was showing me.
You really didn't have the effective tools for successful or effective relationships. Right. I totally get that. Yeah, yeah. It's a challenge because, I mean, we're dealing with so much mm-hmm. at one time, you know, in terms of our generational traumas, right, within our bloodlines, and then our personal traumas within our personal generations, right? And then also, like, in the present time, like now, okay, grandma's dealing with mm-hmm. her stuff. She needs to go through her pain and figure out how she's going to cope with it. She needs to grieve too, you know, and then you all have to do the same. So it's like, you know, in our culture that we don't tend to seek therapy, mm-hmm. go to therapy, and even address these issues of depression, pain, post-traumatic stress disorders, and what have you. Even stress, I mean, nowadays, stress is common, commonly spoken about. But, you know, we really didn't hear too much of that coming up. Yeah, at least I didn't.
They looked at you like you was crazy.
Right, right. And I think that is the stigma, mm-hmm. not to be identified as crazy.
Right.
You know, not to be like, okay, well, you got to get on some meds because you're mm-hmm. not right. You know, we don't want that stigma. And then your grandmother, too, reminds me of, when you spoke about your grandmom, it reminds me of this idea that the woman, the Black woman, is supposed to be also super powerful. Keep it moving. Keep mm-hmm. on pushing. Not feel. You just have to keep going. It's something that definitely came to mind because that's another issue that we deal with.
And she always went to church. That's the other thing, too. Nothing wrong with being a Christian. I want to clear the air about that. Right. I've been going to church since I was little, with the white socks and everything. But you know, again, there's nothing wrong with going to church, but part of me felt like, you know, my healing, yes, you want to have a really intimate and divine connection with God, but there's a part where,
right.
You, and I see it a lot where you know, people will pray or like, hey God, please remove this pain that I'm feeling. But then they don't put in the work to assist the removing of the pain. And I would see that with, you know, my elders. They're just, you know, remove this grief or this, you know, whatever have you. But God's like, all right, so what are you going to do about it? You know, are you going to put some work in it? You
Indeed.
Know, I can't do all the work.
Indeed.
That's why we got willpower, you know.
Gotta. Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree. You know, people's religions are personal to them. But holistically, I think of things spiritually, you know, so yeah, it's okay to pray. But now, you know, say faith without works is dead. And that's straight out of the good gospel.
Absolutely.
So it's important, you know, to put that work in. So when you say that work, since you threw that in there, can you give us an idea of what that work might look like? Maybe you've done some of that work, or have you done some of that work? What does that look like?
Yeah, so I started the work actually 5 years ago. I was, we talked about depression, that was my boyfriend. And then postpartum was my side nigga, okay? So, when I gave birth to my son, I gave birth to him natural, with no epidural, no nothing, you know? And I only mm-hmm. spent 2 weeks with him, 2 weeks, and I went right mm-hmm. back to work. So on top of, and when you mm-hmm. give birth, yeah, I didn't know this until after I gave birth to him, obviously, but you open up a can of emotions, because our hips are our emotional junk drawer, and they house the root and sacral chakras. So there's a lot of stuff that had to come up and out. So after I had him, I went back to work, like I said. Pumping was horrible because I can only do it for a couple months and then I had to stop because I was working so much. I just hated myself. I hated how I felt. I hated that I couldn't love my son to the fullest. And I took a picture. He was asleep and I was downstairs in my grandma's computer room. I took a picture of myself and I have it hanging on my wall. I'm looking at it right now. And above it, I have the statement that says, the only neck I'm putting my foot on is the old me, and I have arrows pointing to that person. Mm.
Yes, say that again. So slow that down, because that's real.
So I took this picture, and because I knew I needed to change. And as I'm looking at this picture, I had the raccoon eyes. I had dark circles. I mean, dark spots all over my face. My pH was out of whack. I just looked so dark. And when I took that picture, I put it on my wall. And it says, the only neck I'm putting my foot on is the old me. Because I ain't competing for nobody. Mm. And when I took that picture, I looked at that picture, I said, I got to change. Because I saw my mom die in front of me, death was just, that was my best friend. All I kept thinking about is death, death, death. And it was hard to express that to people because the first thing they would look at you like, are you sure about taking care of your baby? Like, we hear about a lot of moms, you know, jump off a bridge with their children. And the first thing people say, especially the Black sisters, oh, she should have never had them kids. Well, blah, blah, blah. You don't know what she's going through emotionally. Emotionally, I was out of whack. I couldn't, everyone was asking me for help. My grandmother right now, she is, she needs my help. So I'm her caregiver and my son's caregiver, and I'm trying to be my own caregiver. So you can imagine I got everyone calling my name, and I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, either I'm going to take this picture and live, not survive, because I survived after my mom died. I was going to either live or I was just going to just end it all. But I knew I couldn't do that because no one's going to raise my son the way I am. So that was 5 years.
And how old is your son?
Five.
Now? Okay, he's five. Okay, okay. Whew, so that's a lot. Just to unpack a little bit there. So I love that. You know, the only thing like I'm putting my foot on is my own. I mean, that's powerful because you definitely have to put the old self to kind of lay to rest, to be reborn, you know, so to speak. So aside from these questions that were coming up or these thoughts that were coming up in your mind, these emotions of whether or not you could take care of your son, what other kinds of emotions? Then this is, you know, for those that, you know, maybe have not identified their symptoms of depression or postpartum depression. What other emotions or symptoms do you feel were coming up prior to you identifying the need for change?
Oh, definitely anger. I was, because at the time my son's father and I were just arguing back and forth. So I was angry about the situation I was in because before I had my son, I had my own place. Life was okay, you know, but then I got with my son's father and then boom, I came back home too. So that's the other thing too. I came back home and I felt, so on top of anger, I felt, embarrassed because I left my house to come right back to my house and sadness, of course. And then I was thinking about mostly my mom too, because she had me and my sister a year apart. And then she had my younger sister 3 years apart. She didn't get any chances to heal. She had three little girls running up behind her. Yeah. And then I knew that my mom actually was molested at a really young age by her dad. So she didn't get no healing. So on top of me thinking about all this and depression and everything that I'm feeling, I also felt my mom's energy too. Now I know if I do decide to have another child, I need to make sure that all my womb healing is taken care of. And also my elders, the females in my life, the ones that I don't even hear, that their healing is taken care of.
Yeah, I'm so, so glad that you spoke about that because as I'm listening, you know, these questions are popping up in my head too. The fact that, yes, we carry in our womb the generational experiences and traumas of the women in our families and even the women before them and before them and before them and before them just from the beginning of time. Yeah, so doing that personal work, that personal healing of one's own womb, in the process of doing so, we can heal our bloodline moving forward. Even if, let's say, for example, our mother or our grandmother or our aunties or what have you are not personally doing their own work, we could do that work for them in our journey. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I started healing myself, I had more of a open communication with my grandmother. There are times when she thinks that, you know, because I like silence. Especially because I'm taking care of everyone and you know, I'm healing. When I'm home alone, if my son is with his grandparents, God, you know, blessed be the name, I like silence. I don't want to talk to nobody. I just want to be in a deep meditative state. So to her, sometimes she still has to ask me, are you okay? Because I don't want to, I'm like, I'm fine. I just want to be by myself. And I've learned, and that's where the self-care part comes in, learning when it's okay to just be quiet. And finding out my happiness. So after, so again, I know you asked me about the, when did I start the journey? Well, after I took that picture, I realized, okay, I need to eliminate everything that was toxic. So I broke up with my son's father and I just started putting pieces together, drinking more water, figuring out what's not serving my highest good, writing down things that make me happy, affirmations, especially saying I love myself. That was hard to say. That was really hard to say, even though those words are real simple. When you don't feel the love within yourself, it was hard to it was hard for me to say that. And then I had to find old pictures when my mom had, after my mom had transitioned, of that younger Amina. And I started talking to her. And that was my inner child meditation, just letting her know that everything's going to be okay. We got here this far. We can keep on pushing.
Let me just restate that. In your healing work, you found younger pictures of yourself and you started having conversations with your younger self. Wow, that's pretty cool. Now, you know, did you kind of step in kind of ahead, but for your mother and for yourself and for this healing, did you use an altar?
Oh, yeah. I got my self-care. I got two altars. I got three, but I have a self-care altar, and that's for myself. That's why I do all my metaphysical work. And then I have my ancestor altar. I definitely speak to my ancestors. I speak to my mom, you know, from time to time. I light a candle for her because I know she's probably somewhere that she has to find the light within herself, but she has work that she needs to do. She, you know, the way she left, it was really traumatic, and she didn't get the healing that she needed to while she was on this physical realm. So I always make sure I light a candle for her, or, you know, just think about her, just send out that love to her, because I don't know where she is spiritually. I'm just manifesting it while she's in that spiritual realm. She's getting the healing that she needs. So I definitely recommend an ancestor altar if anyone is interested in that.
So aside from maybe a candle, maybe a photo, what other items do you use for your altar, if you don't mind sharing?
For my ancestor or my self-care?
Well, let's start with the ancestor.
Oh, definitely. So I have a few photos of the elders that I know of, and I also wrote down a few of the ancestors that I don't have pictures of. Of course, I have water, fruit, different items that they had in their possessions while they were here on the physical realm. So like my mom, she loved horses, so she still has her harness. I have that present. My great grandfather has a clock. I have that there. Different just items. And I light a white candle, and I'm not there every day, but I see it in my hallway. So when I walk past, I make sure I just, you know, just send a little love there.
Yeah. It's vital. Listeners, it's so vital honor our ancestors. Yeah, because we're talking about spirit here. Yeah, and recognizing that the energy does not die, but it just takes different form. Yeah, so honoring our ancestors is another way to heal ourselves and to, you know, get a little strength to move forward.
Right.
For sure. So now, how about the altar for your self-care?
On my self-care altar?
What does that look like?
So pretty. Yeah. So I have some roses from AC Moore. I love AC Moore. I love roses, and my mom did too. So I have, you know, my fake roses at the top, and I have two pictures of myself when I was a baby. One when I was like probably one or two, and another one when I was like in first grade. And I have them there because those are like the purest smiles I had in the world. On top, on the left, I have my high school diploma, just to remind me of that I exceeded and I can keep on pushing. Because when I was in high school, I had a baby, but I had an abortion. So that was a rough, sophomore, junior year, it was really rough on me. So just having my diploma right there is always present. Onto the wall, I have my affirmations. Like I stated, I have a picture of my old self just to remind me that I can keep on pushing. I'm more than a conqueror. I have different books because I am always jotting down information, and I have a business as a licensed spiritual healer, so I always have different ideas, and I have my bill. I have my expenses on the wall just to make sure, because it's not about spiritual. You got to make sure everything is balanced, your mental, emotional, spiritual, financial. Yes, your financial is going to come with you when you go in the spiritual realm, but while you're here, you got to make sure your finances is up to date. So I got, you know, that.
All right.
Because folks be out here too spiritual. Forget that the financial need to be taken care of.
Exactly. Or be so caught up on their unbalanced finances that they can't get into the spiritual realm. Yeah.
It's just equally in this piece. And then I have a nice billboard of things. I might manifest into reality board. So I do want a house for my son and I, a new vehicle. So I see when I wake up in the morning, I make sure I look at this and read over my affirmations and just remind myself that 4 or 5 years ago, this was not here. So for me to be at this place is a gentle reminder, but it's a push too, to keep on striving.
Indeed. So now, do you revisit these altars periodically and kind of update them, change them around, add items, remove
Oh
items?
yeah, it's actually Saturday. I rearranged my my space, and I made sure like I redid my self care altar. Definitely with my ancestor altar. If it's dusty, oh, you got to get up in there. So I make sure I go there, change the water. If any food, if you have food or fruit, like I just made some soup today, so I just placed it down today. So by the third day, I'm going to bag that up and put it behind one of my trees in my backyard, because you have to cleanse it. If not, there's going to be flies everywhere, and that's not cool.
Of course. Yeah, that's not what we're
No, no,
doing.
no, no.
We're not harvesting,
No.
you know, maggots and whatnot. Mold.
Nope.
Yeah, definitely. You have to take care of the space.
Right.
Indeed. Okay, that's great. I know we're diving deep into the altar work just because, I mean, it's so powerful as part of healing to take the time to make a space for our healing physically and for our ancestors. Do you find that you have now kind of overcome your postpartum depression? What other aspects of self-care have you incorporated aside from your altar work?
So I used to want to overcome postpartum depression, or just depression in general, but I had to realize depression is an energy, just like any other energy, but depression is this scared energy that's in a corner and doesn't know how to move. When I get like that, anxiety or I'm anxious, I have to stop and look back at me and ask me, are you okay, Amina? Like, what's going on? What's why don't you feel good about yourself today? So it's not about overcoming, it's just holding my hand and knowing that my hand is also being held by divine spirit. And it's okay to talk. If I'm not talking to my grandmother, I'm the universe hears me. I hear me, and I want to make sure that I'm on one accord, because if I'm not checking this, then it starts to affect my organs, and it starts to affect my cells, and then my cells start to break down, or my yoni doesn't feel right, you know.
Right.
So it's more so making sure that I'm targeting whatever it was not feeling good. I got to step back and make sure that I'm okay. So if my son is having a moment, it's not me, it's him, but I need to step away, because if not, I'm gonna get upset. Just step away. He's a 5-year-old, let him rock. But he's ready to talk, he talk, you know. Or if I don't want to be out with a group of people anymore, I'm staying in the house. I love being alone, because I'm always out doing something. When I'm a servant of divine spirit, so when those moments where I don't have to be out, oh, I'm staying in the house, I'm a binge watch anime, and I enjoy it. I enjoy my solitude. Before, I used to look at it as, why doesn't anyone be around me? Now I'm like, hey, I don't want to be around. Yeah. And it's okay.
Right.
It's okay. When you're an empath, you gotta guard your heart, like you said in the beginning. You gotta protect yourself, and if your spirit's telling you, I don't like being here, and you still stay, then you a sucker. Listen to your intuition, and if you got to go, go, you know?
Yeah. There's so much that you said there and that I really, really love. In essence, being present with oneself. What I'm feeling in this moment helps identify, you know, what you're dealing with and how to kind of melt into it, or how to flip it, you know, how then to respond to whatever life is thrown at you at that given time.
Right.
I appreciate that very much. And then the other part of you saying, tending to your needs, taking your alone time, watching your anime, or what have you.
Everything on the physical plane is a manifestation of something on the metaphysical plane.
Boom. Yes, indeed. Indeed. They go hand in hand. We have to have that simultaneous awareness.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. That's deep. That is so real.
Oh, the other thing too, I know you said, like, what else did I do for my self-care? I was okay with hating my parents.
Honoring your experience. One thing in defense, I gotta say, you know, I know a lot of folks, we all go through our different trials and tribulations. Some folks have more horrendous stories. I'm not the judge right here and right now.
Right.
We all have our unique experiences and our ups and our downs. One thing that I can say in defense of our parents and our grandparents is, you know, they did what they could with what they had,
absolutely.
You know? Yeah. So sometimes,
that
you know,
was the next time.
Yeah. Yeah. We're kind of in a luxurious space where
I hate it. Like at one point I was talking to my mom, like I was telling her like how much I hated her because for her leaving at, you know, at one point I was soaking in hating my dad for, you know, abusing me the way he did. But then after I let that go, I had to let it go. It was just at one point I was running from not saying, oh, I don't want to hate my parents, because you don't want to say that. But be in that energy. Be okay with being in that hatred. But make sure you get up, wipe yourself from front to back, and keep it pushing.
Hey, yeah, I hear you on that. So basically, it's like honoring yourself. They're not having that convenience. My parents, who thankfully are still alive, they work all the time. That was their experience. There was no, you know, we're not talking about our emotions. We're working, you know. And, you know, as we go further back in history and through our generations, I think that's more of an issue. You honored what you identified, that pain, that hatred, that bitterness, where it could become a bigger problem.
And it was, because I kept shunning it away. But and I was shunning it away by, you know, smoking the weed, drinking, having sex with multiple people and stuff like that, just shunning it away, pushing it back. And so at one point it just burst out and I had to acknowledge it. But the thing, after I acknowledged that anger or emotions, I moved past it, because at one point, before I even did the healing, I had kept, you know how you talk to someone like, well, my parents raised me like this, so this is who I am. I was one of those folks that kept saying that, but I had to realize, okay, my parents ain't raising me no more. I can't keep using that line. That line's an excuse. I call BS on that line. So after you heal from that you're angry or hatred, we got to remember that your parents were doing the best that they could. You got to take that deep breath, forgive, and let go.
Yeah. Really, I'm glad that you touched on that, because we, in fact, are the ones who are in charge of our destiny in terms of our personal experience. And like you said, take a breath. Otherwise, you're stuck in the past and in the pain.
Mm-hmm.
How does that serve you or anyone else, like your son, your family, or anyone you might interact with?
Exactly.
Yeah. Not addressing oneself in such a way, I think, will also inhibit you tapping into your divine purpose.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My purpose is to express love and spread love.
Mm-hmm. So now you are a divine healer. And it's interesting that you've gone through a lot of pain to help heal others who may go through different issues, imbalances in it. The pain that you felt, even the bitterness and the hatred you felt toward your mother, and that you mentioned to me once is, you know, this is what healed you. This is what saved you. Can you go into that a little bit for our listeners?
Well, the thing about that too is, like, I stopped saying I'm helping people. If you need a sacred space to do your healing, I'm here. Because before, after, you know, once I realized, oh, this is great, let me see if I can help other people. Other people don't need this healing. They're not looking for it. And here I am trying to give out like this olive tree branch and they didn't ask for it. And if you are pushing healing, they don't see it. So it came to a point where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna sit here. And then I started sharing my videos about different things that happened in my life. And then when those videos started to get, you know, positive feedback, that's when people started to come to me. I wasn't putting out that energy. Like, I'm still putting out the energy, but I'm not going to put it out where, like, I'm going to be Captain Saberho. I ain't doing that. I ain't got time for that, because some of these energies don't want that. I had to learn to decipher who wants the energy, who wants the sacred space, and who wants the guidance for the healing. Because I had, you know, when I was doing this healing for myself, my grandmother wasn't fully present. She couldn't help me because she had to do her own healing. So I did this walk with divine spirit and my ancestors and me too. I had to put in that work. So that self-care journey it's a solo walk. You're going to have divine spirit with you, but my thing is I will be there to guide you and hopefully that you can see things from different perspectives, but it's up to you to put in that work.
Yeah. And I think by you just organically sharing is what help people connect.
Right.
You know, and seek more from you specifically. Yeah. We come to you in a different way that assists you in your parenting in any way whatsoever.
Yeah. Her nurture, like I will remember things that she would do. She definitely always had us at the park or outside. So I do my best if I'm not too exhausted having my son out so he gets some fresh air. And she always made sure that for our birthdays, she threw a birthday party at the school. So I make sure, like, I keep that dream alive for my son. So every year I'm throwing it big at his school. Like this year, I actually had a Spider-Man come in, and his smile was the biggest. I was like, yeah, I did that.
That's nice.
So
yeah.
The things that I do remember, because it was hard for her to even love us because she couldn't love herself. Because, you know, like I mentioned, she had a lot of traumatic experience even when she was younger. So she did the best she could. So I tried to hold on to the things that I remember.
Yeah, that's so important and valuable. Thank you. It's a way to celebrate. The great times, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. Do you experiment with your creativity? If so, what does that look like? Have you found a sense of freedom in any particular form of art?
Yes, I actually, now that you mentioned it, my words are actually art now. I love using sentence enhancers. A lot of people look at cursing as cursing, but to me, I look at a curse word is when you're telling, when you're placing a curse on someone, not if you tell someone to shut the hell up. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, that right there is a curse word. But if I'm like talking back and forth and my mouth is just going, that to me is I'm allowing myself to be creative. Because when I was younger, my dad would tell me to, you know, shut the fuck up. And that to me is a curse word. Because you're placing a curse on someone to the point that I couldn't even speak. Like he said that when I was younger, and it took me forever to even voice my opinion, like where I'm at right now. Mm. Him placing that curse on me when I was younger, it took me a minute to break that. Mm. So when people are like, oh, you curse too much, I'm not placing no curse on you. I just like to use sentence enhancers. It feels liberating.
So that's cute. So you find cursing, you define cursing as sentence enhancers. That's funny.
Right.
I love that.
I like to write erotic poetry, so I dabble in that. I love doing telling stories. You remember Zane?
Yes.
I used to read her books in middle school. So
wow.
But the way she was so creative with those words, it enhanced, you know, my chakras. And at the time, I didn't know about no chakras, but just I actually stumbled across a few of her books. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember I used to read these books. I was young for that. But she got me going in writing like poetry and stories like that, just to enhance the mental, you know. Sex is overrated. What can you do mentally? Can you stimulate my mental, you know?
Right. Yeah, I appreciate that. When someone that's close to us tells us things that shuts down our creative process, like shut the hell up, don't nobody want to hear that. That suggests to us that whatever we have to say, no one wants to hear it. So for you to break through that within itself, well, that's cool. As a licensed massage therapist, I'm sure that you take on other people's energy.
Right.
As you use your physical body, your hands to heal. How do you clear?
Like, oh, let me go clean, do homework, XYZ, cook, and you still got your nurse clean clothes on. And I know this because my grandmother, you know, she was a nurse. So when she came home, she would have her nursing clothes on and still take care of home, and she didn't even have a moment to take those off. So to me, I'm looking at it as when you have a moment to sit down, take off your clothes, you're giving yourself a moment to breathe a little bit. You don't have to rush. Just give yourself a moment to step back and change your clothes. It's okay.
Yeah. Change your clothes, wash your hands. And we rush in life so much that, you know, we just carry on, unfortunately, most times. Yeah.
And me showing my son that, like, hey, Nas, I need you to take a second because mommy needs to get undressed. I'm showing him that I'm putting me first, and not in a way of like, oh, I don't take care of my son because I know what I do. But it's saying that when he gets older and he's out of the house and he's doing his thing, he knows how to take care of himself. On top of, I don't want to see myself in no nursing home. I see it all the time where, like, some do you have family members that don't even come visit their loved ones in the nursing home? And to me, I look at it as,
yourself to maintain your balance and your mental health.
I definitely pray. Before, when I was massaging, like my early years, I didn't pray, so I just would be collecting everyone's stuff and then coming home with it. But now I pray before I start working on any client. I call on divine spirit and my spirit guides to assist me as I work on their divine child, because I'm just a vessel, you know. At this that moment, I'm an extension of divine spirit, but I ask that they, you know, take whatever it is that no longer serves their highest good and make sure that it comes back to them with positive abundance. And then I also make sage spray to, you know, cleanse the space. And I make sure that when I come home, I don't do anything with my healing clothes on. I take my clothes off and then I put something clean and pure that, you know, hasn't been worn on the outside. And that right there, you're removing the energy that's still stuck on your clothes. Because a lot of times, did you show them how you're supposed to be taken care of? And nine times out of ten, no, because you probably put yourself in the back burner while you was taking care of your husband and the dog and cooking and cleaning and the kids, that they didn't appreciate you fully. Not saying they didn't love you, it's just they didn't know how to take care of you because you didn't show them how you want to be taken care of.
Indeed. And that's great because I was thinking about, do you share with your son or practice anything with your son, any modalities that promote healing and self-care?
Yeah, so he loves me. He loves when I give him massages, and then he'll give me one in return, which is the cutest. Because then he's like, "All right, I'm done." I'm like, "It's only 2 seconds."
Yes.
But recently, when I was cleaning my ancestor altar, he came. He was like, "Are you putting new food down for our aunts and uncles and grandmas?" I'm like, "I am." And then, you know, spirit just was like, you know, have him pour the water in the cup and express your gratitude. So I showed him how to do that. And now, like, if I'm not even near my ancestor altar, he'll be there and he'll just put his hands, prayer hands, and just he'll mumble something. I can't hear it, but he'll smile at me. And it just does my heart good to know that I started this generational wealth. Because it's funny, because family members, if you ever notice, like, if a cousin or a loved one passed away, we'll keep all the obituaries in one corner, but we don't know about ancestor altars. Like, and I'm thinking, like, all you have to do is just put a little water right there, and you have yourself an ancestor altar.
Yes, that's true. That is so true. That's lovely. Oh my goodness, my heart melted. For sure. Who heals the healer? Do you have anyone that you go to help refill your cup?
Absolutely. That's like who gives the mail to other mailmen. So another mailman. It's just you gotta make sure that the person that you're getting that healing from is doing it from a pure place. Because a lot of times there's people that, you know, not saying that they're not a good people, but at the time they may not be mentally where they need to be. So now they're putting energy on you, and you're actually asking them to take away the energy that you don't need anymore. So I like to go to the sauna, and you know, I like to get my mani and pedi. That's healing for me. And I have a few massage therapists that, you know, do a great job in relieving the pain. Shout out to Lorraine.
L. Jones Therapeutics.
Yeah, I have a few therapists that I trust, and I know that when I give you a great job in my healing session, I'm gonna get the same thing.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. Lauren Jones, she really, really takes care of me. So, yeah, shout out to L. Jones Therapeutics. Happy Born Day. Yes, indeed. So that it requires a relationship, helping in your healing process and helping to refill your cup. A relationship definitely is in order, just to see, and communication, just to see where they're at. Are they working through some things? Just to make sure you guard yourself and guard your heart, as we said earlier, for sure.
Absolutely.
So one thing we didn't touch on earlier, was about how did postpartum depression show up in your experience. And I know, you know, when you first have a baby, it looks away. As the child grows, it evolves and changes, right? So what kinds of symptoms or experiences, emotions, did you notice or identify that you associated or do associate with postpartum depression? Just for some sisters that, you know, maybe going through stuff and they just don't know what it is. Right.
Okay. So, when I knew something wasn't right was when I just couldn't shake it off me. Like my shoulders felt heavy. You know, babies cry, but his cry just was like aggravating. And it wasn't even, I was always tired. Cause like I said, I was working in the morning. And then when I came home, it was straight to Nas. Mind you, I didn't get that rest. If I would have got that 6 weeks or 3 months of just being with my son, I would have been able to heal on a different level, but I didn't get that. And especially my body was in a lot of trauma. Like I didn't think about it. I'm like, yo, I should have just sat still. But, you know, I just was thinking about getting money because I wasn't working when I was pregnant. The doctor said my, you know, the baby was too small, like his weight was low. So she just told me to stop working. And that broke me because I'm someone that always works. I'm independent. So money is just, hey, I'm getting that bread. So when I couldn't work for those 9 months, that just killed me. So when I got that opportunity to work, but I had to wait, you know, I had to start 2 weeks after I had him. I'm like, either I get my car repoed or I just wait and be still. And I just chose to move. Yeah. So, yeah, I just felt really heavy. I felt angry. I couldn't shake not being sad. Like, this was supposed to be a great moment for me, but I couldn't fight the funk. And then happiness felt like a struggle, too. Like, I could not be happy. It would be so beautiful outside, weather's nice, and I still feel depressed. And I was depressing all my emotions down. And like I said, like I was in an unhealthy relationship with my son's father, so we were always back and forth. And I just couldn't get the healing from that. So
yeah, it's rough. But yeah, just so that, you know, like I said, for those that need a little encouragement, to not ignore these experiences, not to ignore these emotions. Did you have a support system, other sisters you can talk to in that time or even now?
Now, I don't really talk about, you know, depression because I don't feel like it's overbearing. If I have to speak to my grandmother about something, we'll talk. And if I need to voice my opinion, and that's what I knew one of the answers of why I was depressed, because there was people in my corner that weren't serving my highest good. They were telling me how I needed to raise my son instead of just being there. And I would express to them how I'm feeling, or their response was, oh, well, believe me, I've been there. Okay, and I'm telling you how I'm feeling right now. That would always piss me off. Believe me, yeah. I have my own kids. Okay, and I'm going through something right now. So you gonna help me or not? You know,
right?
A lot of times that's the other thing too. Like I stopped talking to the people that just be like, "Oh, I've been there." All right, we're not even talking anymore because all they want to do is just listen to what you're saying and give you nothing in return.
Mm-hmm. So, right.
Definitely. I voicing my opinion, speaking my piece, and being okay with speaking my piece.
Yeah, indeed. Give thanks for that. And I feel you. You know, if the conversation is not conducive, healthy, if I feel drained and not supported, I'd rather keep to myself, like you said earlier.
Right.
Yeah. You touched on a lot of things throughout our conversation in terms of how you take care of yourself. Are there any other tips, techniques, practices that you'd like to offer our listeners to get them on their healing journey and to, you know, just take care of themselves? What can folks do on a regular basis to make sure that they are good?
I would definitely say lay down some boundaries. And when I say boundaries, I'm not saying like be defensive. Just boundaries to me is knowing when to say no and being okay with saying no. And also boundaries is speaking your piece. Before I would just, like, I always say the speaking the piece, because for the longest I would just allow people to say anything and I'd be like, okay, because I thought that was peaceful. But when I would leave them, I would overthink and overanalyze the conversation. I'm like, oh, I should have said this, or I should have said that, but I didn't want to hurt their feelings. Now I got a war inside me. Stop the war. That's stop the war within yourself. If you need to say what you need to say, get it out, and say it as truthful as you can. I also had to remind myself that, you know, I'm communicating on the basis of how my parents or how my grandmother or people around me would communicate. So I was always mindful of not hurting anyone's feelings, but truth be told, the truth is going to hurt someone's feelings, you know? So it's about saying it in a truthful way and coming in a place of, listen, I'm coming from a place of love and I don't want to hurt me. So I'm going to say this to you and being okay with that. Also, affirmations. I have a few affirmations on my mirror and I say them, I recite them in my head or I say them out loud. And if it doesn't feel right, keep saying it till it does. Right now, my recent affirmation, I say it from time to time because my mind likes to wander and I like to bring it back saying, hey, nope, come on, girl, we're going to come over here. And the affirmation is I'm worthy of all great things in my life. I am,
yes,
which is a powerful way to start your affirmation, worthy because I am of all great things in my life. I keep saying that and sure enough, abundance is coming. You just have to believe and knowing that you are worthy of all great things. You are worthy of finding that peace and that happiness. And also, starting the self-care journey, I haven't been in a relationship since. Been single for 5 years. So that right there puts a big statement. A lot of time, people would, you know, hop from one person to the next and just keep collecting these demons from other folks, and they don't get that healing. Like once me and my son's father broke up, I didn't get into another relationship, and I'm still not in another relationship. Yeah, I had my fun, you know, but
yeah.
I know for a fact I wasn't. When the time is right, it will be divine. Spirit will be like, hey, okay, you guys are gonna rock with each other, but right now it hasn't been yet, and I'm okay with that. So that's the other thing, is just, you know, stop hopping from one person to the next, because all you're going to do is just, you're going to be a role collector, just collecting things that don't even belong to you. Now you got all this baggage and on all these other spiritual entities around you and inside your womb too. That, oh, once I started doing education on the womb and how that, you know, when you have different partners inside you and how they just harbor inside your womb, I was like, oh, nope, not doing that no more.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Dropping jewels, yo. I really hope them folks that are listening right now is just grabbing them up, putting them in their little baggie, you know, because there's some powerful jewels right there. You know, we hold so much trauma in our wombs, and then we hold the energies of our sexual partners in our womb as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And men so too. Definitely. I'm sorry?
I said men too. They have trauma in their wands. Let's just use that.
Yeah. Absolutely. So this episode is not only for women. It definitely is for men as well, because we all experience stress and traumas.
Right.
And, you know, we have sex. Okay. So women, queens, heal your wounds. Okay. And kings, heal your wands.
Yes. And it's okay to cry.
Yeah, yeah.
Your community is. Why are you crying for? No, it's okay to cry.
It's an expression. Yeah, I like to see, you know, crying as, you know, it's a washing, it's a cleansing, you know, like it's water. Yeah, definitely a cleansing. And sometimes we have to go through that crying to get to the other side. Sometimes we have to cross the river.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, man, sis, this has been great. I really appreciate you, and I appreciate your journey. I appreciate the work that you do. I appreciate the work that you have done, what you have realized in your own life and what you've come from, and how now you're on this beautiful journey of healing and healer. So I appreciate, you know, all that you are, all that you give. And your young man, I appreciate his strength, because I know he has, you know, a lot of strength coming from you.
Oh, thank you.
A lot of blessings. Yeah, indeed. So any last thoughts that you would like to share with our listening audience?
No, I this was just a gentle reminder of everything that I've went through And just to speak about it and not be at a place of any hatred, like me speaking about everything that has happened, I have forgiveness within myself. Oh, and also forgive yourself. It's okay. It's not just that person. But
Thank you. Yeah. Forgive yourself. Yes.
Pointing fingers hard, pointing fingers, elbows, knees. And then I'm like, oh, it's a mirror. I'm pointing at myself. But it's okay,
true.
You know, to forgive yourself, but have forgiveness with compassion. But yeah, this was just an amazing reminder of where I came from and where I'm going. And I really manifest that everyone that is listening, either you're coming out of it or in it, and you can't see that light. The light is there, and that light is good. And it's a rough road, but as long as you got people that are open enough, like myself and you, and other folks that can speak about their experience, you can, like you said, grab whatever that looks good with you and put it in your pocket. If it ain't good, put it down, because someone behind you may need that.
That's right. No matter how dark it is, that light is within you, right. Indeed.
And like in my videos, as I close out, hopefully this helps you on your self-care journey. And if it doesn't, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. So peace.
Yes, yes. Well, before you go, sis, can you just let the people know where they can find you in the event that they would like to tap into some of your healing services?
Absolutely. So it's
IG. Shout out.
IG divine underscore Amina, AMINAH underscore Abir, ABIR.
All right. And I'm going to list that in the notes of this episode. So again, I thank you. Thank you all listeners for tuning in and staying with us, listening with your heart, and moving forward along this journey with us. If you have not done so yet, what are you waiting for? Subscribe and join this family. Give a rating and a review. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Because as I said before, our stories are relevant. They're vital. They must be spoken and they must be heard. So help us spread the word. And until we speak once again, breathe deeply. Be in your breath. Absorb that breath. Feel that breath. Notice what it is doing to you. Notice where it's rooting from. Notice where it is flowing to. And be in peace and blessings. Talk to you soon.